Well, good morning again, and welcome back to our Lenten journey. This is the second Sunday of five in this church that we call the season of Lent. And we are using this time to make our way through a wilderness and even consider becoming the wilderness. As we noted last week, the landscape of the wilderness has been used by many religious traditions as a metaphor to represent a place and a time set apart. Sometimes a place to underscore our need for solitude and deep peace. Other times a place to face into times of despair or a particular challenge. Sometimes we find ourselves in a wilderness when we feel lost, when we are between relationships, jobs, answers to big questions in our lives, or maybe when we are simply too tired and too worn out to keep up the charade of perfecting, pleasing, proving, or pretending. In all of these scenarios, what is common is movement and necessity of both courage and vulnerability, a willingness to name and claim the particular circumstances of our life. To help guide us on our particular Lenten journey into the wilderness this year, we have chosen to dip into social researcher and storyteller Brené Brown's new book, Braving the Wilderness: The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone. And we're leaning into her work as we make our way together. Brown describes the wilderness as, quote, an untamed, unpredictable place of solitude and searching, unquote. It is, she argues, the place we each must travel to in order to discern and claim what she defines as true belonging. This is the antithesis of our cultural norm of fitting in or conforming, and instead is the bold and vulnerable commitment to stand alone for what we might describe as the gospel imperative. Last week, we outlined what Brown describes as four elements of true belonging. Each element is both challenging and paradoxical. Challenging because they represent lifelong practices, not things that we can claim as one and done. They will require our whole selves, and many days that will kick us in the butts and remind us of our human frailty and need for forgiveness and to get up and try again and again and again. They are also paradoxical because they require learning the dance of maneuvering between being with others and being alone, staying deeply connected and in community while also being courageous enough to stand on our own and speak the truth in love. True belonging, she writes, is not something you negotiate externally. It's what you carry in your heart. It's finding the sacredness in being part of something and in braving the wilderness alone. So today, we continue our journey with the first of these four elements of true belonging. Element number one, people are hard to hate, close up, move in. I imagine one of the reasons people cling to their hates so stubbornly is because they sense once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with pain. Brown's chapter on this element begins with this beautiful quote by the exquisite 20th century American novelist and social critic, James Baldwin. This chapter has rattled me all week, especially when I have set it next to the gospel passage we just heard this morning. I am rattled in part because it so accurately describes the negativity and divisiveness and sheer hate swirling all around us in social media, politics, and the 24-hour news cycles that seem more intent on assigning blame than fostering connection and compassion or accountability. Added to that, the cacophony of pain erupting around the country, may be I say the world this week, stemming from yet another senseless tragedy culminating in the unimaginable death of 17 and more than a dozen others wounded in Parkland, Florida. Hate of all kinds seems to be escalating and keeping us further and further apart. But that's not the only reason my heart has hurt this week. As I have sat with this element of true belonging, I have wondered what it means to truly move in, to stay connected and engaged, even with those who we do not understand or agree with on matters large and small. I have wondered why here in this community, we seem to have an enormous stumbling block when it comes to finding ways to stay connected when we have disagreements. Yes, we proudly claim to be progressive, inclusive, and creative, and in so many ways that is absolutely true and beautiful. And we have some serious taking stock to do on our wilderness journey together. I'm going to stand in the wilderness for a moment myself this morning and suggest, in very particular ways, that I believe we must, for the sake of the gospel, acknowledge our fear and our pain and our pride and our certainty in order to follow the one who calls us by name. People are hard to hate. Close up. Move in. Over the past month, I have wrestled with what it means to be an inclusive community of faith. Some have suggested to me that those in elected leadership positions in this community must pass a certain kind of litmus test in order to serve. I share this not to air dirty laundry, but because it is real, and it has caused great pain and a kind of division that none of us truly wants and should never be swept under the rug. I have come to believe that this is a call to move into the wilderness as a community. Just a side note to the many of you who seem to be here visiting for the first time, if you happen to not know what I am talking about, here's what I would say to you. Picture a group of beautiful people in your life, people that you love, people that you would go to the mat for, walk the extra mile, and yet, when it comes down to any number of particular perspectives on any matter of things, you simply vehemently disagree. So what do you do? What do you do? That's what we're talking about here in the wilderness. That's what Brené Brown is asking us to reconsider. That is what true belonging demands. The courage to speak the truth, even if it means challenging the urge to please or to fit in or make nice. Rather than subscribe to the divisive power of political rhetoric or groupthink or what she describes as the complete collapse of moral judgment and productive communication, Brown's research revealed that the people who had the strongest sense of true belonging are people that simply stay what she calls zoomed in. It is hard work. It requires courage and humility and vulnerability. And I think it is what the church is called to do beyond any other institution in our culture right now. Jesus knew something about being zoomed in. Last week, we were with Jesus in the River Jordan, hearing of his belovedness. And then he was driven out into the wilderness to confront every form of demon and temptation. And finally, we saw him in Galilee, beginning to proclaim the good news. So today, we are further on in the story in Mark, and Jesus is talking first to his disciples and then to a crowd. In both instances, he speaks with the authority and conviction of one whose heart is focused not on self, but on the greater good. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he models for us the primacy of moving in of staying connected, even when there are times of disagreement. Jesus begins today with his disciples sharing what must have been excruciatingly difficult news to convey and to hear, and yet he does not hold back. He stands in his own wilderness to speak his truth. And the response of Peter's rebuke is nothing short of an attempt to reverse and derail what Jesus and the others don't want to hear. And then there's Jesus' statement to the crowd and his explanation of what is required to become a follower. Now, I can't imagine in any universe that this was something Jesus thought would win him friends and influence more followers, right? Who says something like this unless they are absolutely certain of the ground on which they stand? Deny everything about yourself. Put down everything that you think matters, and then come and follow me. This call to follow requires putting down everything we have spent the first half of our lives acquiring. Put down, or better yet, surrender your status, your privilege, your politically correct positions, your oh-so-important opinions, all of it, put it the hell down, says Jesus. And then pick up your cross and follow me. This passage is like a talisman for our journey to true belonging as Christians. The path Jesus paves requires courage and a willingness to stumble and then get up and a desire to forgive and be forgiven, and a hunger for learning more and more about each other rather than focusing on making our own points ever clearer and clearer. People are hard to hate close up. Move in. So today I pray that as we make our way through the wilderness, we will explore what it looks like to boldly smash our idols of certainty and prejudice, and to resist anything that promotes disconnection and isolation and loneliness. Brown's overarching goal, it seems to me, is to help us reclaim what she describes as human connection and true belonging in the midst of sorting and withdrawal. And I am beginning to think that that might be just about the most worthy mission a church in the 21st century could claim as well. What if we were not only known for being progressive, inclusive, creative, and downtown, but also as the place where anyone and everyone is welcome because we truly believe that following Jesus means our common humanity is the starting point. We want to lean in and listen more than we want to persuade. And we believe that we are all here needed to make up the body of Christ. I end this morning with a poem that I have kept in my pocket over the years. That tells you a little bit more about me than perhaps you need to know. But as this is a clarion call to me, I offer it to us as a community as well. A call to deep connection to bind us in a kind of love that defies description or containment and yet is ever present. From the place where we are right, a poem by German-born Israeli poet Yehuda Amika. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world like a mole, a plow, and a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood. We need to be God's love in this place so that then we can go be God's love out in that broken and beautiful world. May it be so.